So we're here today celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. So if we ask the question, why? We ask the question, why did someone be resurrected? Why did someone have to die? So we're going to go back to the beginning, back to the very beginning in Genesis. In the beginning, back before there was anything, there was God. And a lot of poets, a lot of storytellers have told stories of what it was like, what God was thinking. We don't know. And I like that mystery that we will never know until we get to heaven. It reveals everything to us, what it was like back in the beginning. So we can only imagine that he wanted a relationship with man. So he created a world. So in the beginning he said, let there be light. And he created day and night. And God is so creative. He's so awesome in what he created. I want us to catch just a moment this morning of the awesomeness of God in his creation and what he created for us to enjoy. He said, let there be light. He created day and night. He separated the land and the sea. He separated the firmament, the water above, from the water below. He created the oceans, the waters. Like I said, the waters above, he divided from the waters below. He created the seed-bearing plants. He created grass. He created seed-bearing plants like corn and apple trees and flowers and roses. Our God is an awesome God. A God who creates these beautiful things for us to enjoy. He created the galaxies, the sun, moon, and stars. In a couple months, you'll be able to go out and lay on the ground and look up at God's awesome creation and all the stars and planets and all the galaxies beyond that we can't see with our naked eye. He created the birds of the air, the majestic eagles and all the birds. He created the fish of the sea, and it mentions in Genesis whales. He created the little tiny creatures, unique and intricate, some pretty, some we say maybe ugly. All kind of creeping insects. He created the cattle, and all different kind of cattle. He created the beasts of the field, the beautiful elk, the white-tailed deer, and the big grizzly bear. God created all of them, and he said it was good. But God still wanted something more. He wanted a relationship with a person. So he reached down deep inside of himself and created something in his image. And he created you and me. He created Adam and Eve. And there we had the garden, Adam and Eve and God. And these creations that he created. You know, he didn't stop there. He created mountain peaks for us to conquer and for us to climb. He created the great sequoias, the beautiful redwoods, huge, majestic trees. He created waterfalls like Niagara Falls or the Monmouth Falls in Oregon. He created the Grand Canyon. He created beautiful sunsets for us to enjoy. But the story doesn't end there. You think that Adam and Eve would have been content in the perfect state to enjoy God and what he had made. But there was choices, there was decisions, and there was consequences. Following that, there was thorns and thistles that sprung up. And the result of the fall, there's drought, There's famine. There's hatred. There's earthquakes. There's floods. Wildfires. There's broken relationships. There's broken homes. Pain and suffering because of choices that people made. There's a song that talks about having no hope in this broken world. I want to read the lines to the song. It says, "Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no rock, no refuge nigh. When the dark days round thee gather, when the storms sweep o'er the sky. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, how lonely life must be, like a sailor lost and driven on a wide, shoreless sea. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, no hand to clasp thine own, through the dark, dark veil of shadow, thou must press thy way alone." Then the refrain, "Oh, to have no hope in Jesus, no friend, no light in Jesus. Oh, to have no hope in Jesus, how dark this world must be." Dave Brackville's Sunday School class is going to read a number of verses that talk about our life before Jesus, our hopelessness without Jesus. So if they could come up, just stand up here in a line and read those verses. And then after that, Kayla, if you'll come up and share a little bit, and then Johnny.
Okay, so I had Ephesians 2:1-3, and they say, And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even by others.
Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling from giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness of and true holiness.
I have Luke 15:11-13. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living."
1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
Hi, my name's Kayla. I was asked to share a little bit about my life before I met Jesus, so here we go. I guess I experienced my first bit of brokenness when my parents got divorced in the third grade. It was extremely tough on everybody in my family, and it was the first time that I have felt a bit of guilt and shame because I felt like it was my fault. At that age, you believe everything's your fault. It was extremely lonely, too, because I couldn't really express to my parents how I felt about the whole situation because my mom was experiencing a whole level of brokenness herself. So I kind of went through this period as I started to get older of trying to figure out who I was as a person. I am a heavily influenced person, and the people that I had around me at the time were not very healthy. And I found myself seeking approval and just love and acceptance from those people around me. So I did anything and everything to please those around me. And in turn, it turned into a lifestyle of alcohol and drugs and lying and stealing and cheating. My parents didn't know anything. Well, they knew a little bit about my life, but I hid everything from them up until high school. My mom tried her best to love us through the pain that we had felt through our parents' divorce, and she was very broken herself and couldn't lift us up as she had wanted to. And so I started to look for other things, and so basically, sorry, it's just very hard to talk about. But my mom felt it was best to move from... I had lived in Florida for the majority of my middle school years, and my mom decided it was best to move to Pennsylvania to try and be closer to family because she was struggling to stay afloat, and the divorce was extremely toxic. And basically, it completely shocked and rocked my world, and I found myself trying to find myself all over again, and I basically turned to drugs and alcohol and parties, and it was my way of coping, and it was my way of escaping the reality of what I perceived to be true. And at the time, what I perceived to be true was that my family didn't care about me as much as they said they did, that my dad didn't love my family as much as he said he did, because of how much pain and hurt he had put us through, and the fact that he had chose to stay in Florida instead of come live here with us was also extremely painful. So, basically, in order to fill this void that I had inside of me, that was building up over the years since the time that my parents got divorced in the third grade, I've been filling it up with anything, almost everything. And I found myself seeking more and more and more of either drugs or alcohol or parties or just people to not feel alone. And it definitely took a toll on me. And I've traveled way deeper into the dark side than I care to. Would like to admit, but luckily my story doesn't end there.
Happy Easter. I was asked to share as well a little bit on my testimony. And so really, I had to bring some notes in case I need backup. So, it was actually really an emotional time, a little bit of a tough time for me to gather together what I felt that, you know, the people around me could relate to, or how could God use me through this. So my biggest desire through this is in the end that God is glorified, and I want to give myself up to just share what I feel, some of the things God laid on my heart, and what happens to be part of my journey. And obviously, I was born in sin. I was born into a world of sin. God gave two perfect people in His image the opportunity to live in heaven, or, you know, the beautiful Garden of Eden, and Satan came and took that, or Satan came and influenced humanity in the way that took that away from us. But fortunately, God gave a way for that to be restored, and I believe it was a part of God's plan all along. And so, yeah, in the end of some of my story, the story doesn't end there. But I grew up a very conservative background as far as my view of church, family, people in general was different at that time than it is now. And I want to say with that I believe that the people around me, and my parents especially, did their very best to, or what they knew how with what they had, to raise me. And it was hard for me to think of this message, to share some negative aspects in my life without bringing, like, there's always, I feel like God always gave, and He does, He always has a pot, He always came out on top if we allow that to be our story. So for me to share some of my hurts or some of the things before I had Jesus in my life is a little bit difficult, and to come back later and share. So bear with me with that. I don't want to share anything in disrespect to my parents or anybody, but I grew up some of my earliest memories when I was 5 years old, you know, making mistakes where we do as children. And there was one particular instance that really, the punishment for that really broke me to the core. The physical punishment of that just busted me up. And a lot of my life, that was a memory that I had. On my journey, I was very broken, and that affected me in a way which I didn't always live a broken life. A lot of times I tried to take alternatives, or I tried to muster myself up to try to deal with pain or different instances in my life where I was abused, which I recognize as abuse right now. And I won't, you know, that's just the sad part about it, and something that I feel like through that God has given me an incredible passion for those people now. But so coming out of that, another thing I wanted to say is, like, my life growing up, you know, before or even after some of these, or in between some of these, I had a dream life. I grew up on a farm, and we went and did stuff. We had a lot of fun times, weekends or picnics and things. Those were definitely the good old days to me, and I have a lot of memories with that. But I didn't have Jesus. I wasn't born with Jesus. I didn't have God. And as I grew older, there was definitely that stirring in my heart where I desired what God gives us to desire. He pursues, I think, every one of us, and we decide whether we want to give in to that or whether we want to continue to live life how we feel we understand it or how we feel we want to deal with it. So basically, I think the start of freedom would come to being broken and to surrendering what we'll never get on our own. It'll only be through that surrender and brokenness. So some of that brokenness and surrender or brokenness that I was feeling ended up being the very foundation of me living a victorious life and receiving freedom in Christ. I remember exactly where I was and who was with me, a man that even to this day will call and pray together and we'll work together, and he's just, God has used him in incredible ways, I know, through other people as well. But he was telling me after we got back from work, he said, you need Jesus. And I was already probably 19 or 20 years old, and I had went through a youth group and a lot of things with a lot of insecurities, and it seemed like a lot of those... a lot of that was like a competition to me, like with the guys or whatever. I was competitive in, you know, some sports, but I'm talking about like a different competition that now caused me to think, you know, we all have equal opportunity in Jesus. This was a competitive spirit that was working through me in life in general, just competing with man. And I believe that has a lot to do with Satan's fall and the start of ties into like the pride and Satan wanted to be competitive with God. So some of that competitive spirit ended up working itself out in my life. This good friend of mine, we actually wrestled physically. We would get into bashes and it was the way it happened that people actually like said things to try to make us, they thought it was funny to watch us fight. We got angry, and that was the way that, just one instance for me where I believe the competitive spirit really revealed itself and was able to work that out through that. So he was the man that led a life in a way, and he really introduced me to Jesus, and just remembering that brokenness, actually feeling what it's like and what it means to know Jesus, to experience Jesus in your brokenness. And it wasn't just hearing about Jesus at church it wasn't the same. Ever since that moment, I never forgot the moment I remembered Jesus for who he really is. Some more of my journey as I was progressing in my relationship in the Lord. I had to give. There was a lot of giving up, and some of that led to separations, what I see in my heart as separations because of how people choose to treat me, because of where I'm at from where I grew up and the congregation that I was a part of. Those separations have really affected me and still do in some ways, but there was an incredible revelation throughout my journey where God clearly showed me that I need to pray for them and pursue them. And that was a major weapon for me as I moved on in my journey later, when there was the people that separate me in some ways. I know they don't want to do it in their heart, but there's a lot. I think that a lot of you understand some of that. But so through those separations, I had a major conviction. And it was through what somebody said to me that I prayed all the way home. And when I got home, I remembered. And I just cried out to God. I would not let him go until he told me how to. And that's what it was. And that was my weapon going forward. I had so many weapons that God gave me before. I feel like I had a year of preparation before I had to deal with some of these things. But the weapon is what that person said to me. God will deal with that. I'm not on the awkward side of things. I give it to God. I need to pray and release that to God, and pursue them in love.
So there's brokenness, there's pain all around. So God reached down into his heart with a plan he knew all along for a way to call man back to himself. Today we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it's because of Jesus that we can have victory. And ever since he's been calling man, whether it was Jonah or Peter or the disciples, he's been calling us to himself. I remember the call of my life. The years when he was calling me, and I rejected, and I rejected. And I want you to think about the call in your life and how God pursued you and is pursuing you today. And maybe you're not a believer here today, and God is calling you. John 6:44 says, I will draw all men to myself. No one comes to the Father except I draw him. So God will speak to your heart. He will call you. You know, there's something in all of us that longs to be clean. There's something in all of us that longs to be clean, not on the outside, but inside. The messiness, we may look okay on the outside, but inside we're dying to be clean, to be right with God. The thread this morning through this this theme is the prodigal son. I want to read the call, what I believe is a call of God on his life. Just reflect on God's call in your life. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And I believe God is speaking to his heart. And when he had joined himself to the citizens of the country, he went to him into the field and to feed swine, that he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of the swine that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my hired servants in my father's house has bread enough to spare? And I will perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. I believe God was speaking to his heart in a huge way, and he responded to the call of God in his life. You know, God speaks to our hearts today through many things, through circumstances, through events, through death, through illnesses, many, many ways God speaks to us, maybe through a friend, to get our attention. We're going to sing a number of songs that talk about God's call in our lives. And as we sing those songs, I want you to reflect on the call of God in your life. Whatever God may be speaking about to you today, if you're a believer and God's trying to work things out in your heart and your life, or whether you're not a believer and he's calling you to himself, just mind God as we sing. James and Carter are going to play. We're going to sing together the songs, The Same Love, and Hear the Call to the Kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the call that you've called us to be your children. Lord, I pray that if you're speaking to someone here today, that you give them the strength and the power to surrender their life to you in whatever way you're calling them. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us and speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So those of you who are believers know what it was like when you responded to the call of Jesus. And when you laid your burden down at the cross, whether it was at a church service, whether it was in your parents' bedroom or in the living room or somewhere, when you responded to the call and God gave you peace, he gave you joy, he gave you relief. He filled your heart with all the attributes that he brings. I remember the next morning after I had fought for years, I remember the next morning talking to my mom and my sister like it was a beautiful day. Like, I didn't have a care in the world. The burden was gone. It was lifted. If you're here this morning, I pray that for you, that you can surrender your heart to God and respond to him. Our class is going to come up again and read some verses that talk about that new life in Christ. So if you'll come up, they're going to end with the thread of the prodigal son. So come on up. And then we'll sing a number of songs, James, after that.
I did Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Mine is Ephesians 12 to 15. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strength from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broke down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained the ordinances, for to make himself of twain new man, so make peace.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Luke 15:20-24. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and bring a ring and put it on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate.
Stand again and let's sing Christ Arose, Low in the Grave He Lay. Now we're getting to the victorious part of the story, and we're seeing sin, how all of us are drawn into sin, and yet this is where we find our hope, our life, in Christ rising from the dead, which we're celebrating this morning. Christ Arose, Low in the Grave He Lay.
It's now the part of the story, but God. Kayla?
Okay. So this is my favorite part of the story, so hang on tight. So all this pain and brokenness and loneliness and heartache and tears that I cried made me lose my faith in God. We went to church as little kids, but never really went consistently. And so I knew who God was, but I never really understood the language or what his purpose was in my life. And so come middle school, and I've been dragged out of my middle school that I was in, moved to a completely different state and having to make new friends. I just really felt like God wasn't real. There's no way that a loving God that everybody talks about would allow all these heartaches and rough times for me. So I kind of ran with that. And then come high school, I start to actually become a little more educated and realized how perfect, like what a perfectly fallen world we live in. As I started to look around, not only at like the biology of everything, but within our, like ourselves, but like the air that we breathe, to the fact that we're a solid ball flying through space at a billion miles per hour, and we're still standing. So it was just too perfect for there to not be a higher power. So I guess you could say at some point I became an agnostic. And so I continued on with my old ways, though, was still doing the whole drinking, partying, drugs thing. I eventually became super depressed and super lonely because you can only go so far into darkness without completely losing yourself. I've struggled with, you know, self-doubt, wondering if I was worthy, acceptance, belonging, like what was my purpose? Like all those questions, came flooding back and I had no answers for any of them. So, I kind of dragged my way through high school and barely graduated. And, by the grace of God and him using other people, my guidance counselor got me, into a program that got me my EMT. So, as soon as I graduated high school, God blessed me with a job right away working in Lancaster General in the ER. That's where I actually met this guy named Matt Gingrich, who plays a decent game of snap baseball. He's not bad, I guess. But anyone would tell you if you were to go to work, they would tell you there's something different about Matt, and everyone would agree with you. Matt walks with integrity, and he just really represents Jesus in an amazing way. And at the time, I didn't know it, but I just knew there was something different. There's, as a coworker of ours would say, there's a sparkle in his eye. But one day I took a shift from him, and for some reason, he decided to invite me over to his house for Thanksgiving. I completely lost my mind because nobody's ever invited me over to their house for Thanksgiving, like one of the most important meals of the year. And I told him he better ask his mom. And he assured me at the time that his mom would absolutely have no problem with me coming over, but I assured him he needed to ask her. So, of course, he messages me and tells me, like, you know, sure, come on over. Mom, of course, said it was fine, like I told you she would. And so, Thanksgiving rolls around. I get to the Gingrich household. I walk in, and I encounter the presence of Jesus for the first time in such a tangible way. They didn't say anything to me. They didn't do anything. They didn't tell me, you need Jesus. They simply just loved on me and fed me. And the presence of Jesus in the Gingrich household is super powerful. And I didn't know it at the time, but the atmosphere in the house was completely different. If you used to step in the house, like, and step out, you're like, okay. I was like, something's going on here. It's weird. I don't know what's happening. I kind of left, you know, I had an amazing dinner. His mom's an amazing cook, and the boys really know how to smoke meat. But I went home that day and kind of, like, was trying to figure out, like, what all just happened. And I knew the common denominator between the Gingriches was the fact that they absolutely loved Jesus with all that they had. And so I started to pursue him, and I started to talk to him the same way I'm talking to you guys now, just literally about everything. I'd wake up in the morning and tell him what I had for breakfast. He absolutely knows what I had for breakfast, but I had to tell him. And so I just started to pursue him a little bit more and more and more. And one day I was driving home, and I was talking to him and, you know, just trying to figure out life, I guess you could say, as everybody does on a car ride home, right? Right. But I, like I said before, I've always kind of felt lonely. I've felt, you know, I've had been through a ton of heartache and never really knew how to cope with it. But that gaping hole that was inside of me that I tried to fill with everything around me that I could get my hands on, never satisfied me. And so I'm talking to God and just asking him what his purpose is for my life. And, you know, if he's real, that to manifest right in front of me, please. And it's really hard for me to explain this feeling that overcame me. But the best way that I can put it is I got a taste of heaven. This feeling, that hole that was inside me was filled completely and then some. I had this feeling of joy and happiness and peace and comfort. And they say before you die, your life flashes before your eyes. And I don't know what visions look like. I've never had a vision before, but all I can say is that I saw snippets of my life, little bits of my life, kind of flash before my eyes. And it was just like how every little moment of my life led up to this moment in the car. And it was, I don't know how else to explain it, but it's just in that moment, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was real, that Jesus is who he says he is. And it was just this blessed assurance, this absolute knowing. And this feeling and this knowing was so powerful that my only reaction was to just hysterically sob. And if you were sitting next to me in the car, you'd be a little scared, because not only was I driving, but I was hysterically sobbing like I lost my parents. But it was the most joyful cry I've ever cried in my entire life, and I would do it all over again. But I right away just knew I needed to pick up a Bible, and I just knew I needed to read it. And I just had this want and desire to know God and to know how it is to know how to be a child of God. And so I went home, and I just really, I'm an extrovert, so I have to verbalize things. And so I knew I just had to tell somebody, and the only person that I had in my life that was a God-fearing person was Matt. And so I told him, and he shared in the joy with me of the fact that God totally reached down right where I was at and pulled me out of the darkness. And so that was April 13th of last year. I've been walking with the Lord ever since. I've been reading my Bible. I have read through the entire New Testament, and I am in Isaiah in the Old Testament. And I would like to stand up here, and I would love to be able to stand up here and say that it's been running through the daisies ever since, and that my life is just absolutely perfect, and I am just like the happiest person alive. But I would be lying, because I struggle. I do. I struggle a lot. But something that God has been teaching me lately, and something that I have learned in my walk, is the fact that his love is shown perfect through my weaknesses, and that the people, he has placed so many amazing people in my life to help keep me lifted. And so I am just absolutely in awe and thankful, and just completely blessed at the fact that I did absolutely nothing to earn my salvation. I was literally driving home telling him how much I hate my life, actually, and that I need something to change, and amongst other things. But he reached down and met me exactly where I was at, and that right there just shows, at least for me in my testimony, that he loves you no matter what, no matter what you're going through or whatever you're struggling with, and that he is always present. And I think for me, he has shown that a lot through the people around me. And so in closing, I basically just want to say thank you, guys. It's been a complete honor to be able to stand up here and tell you guys about how amazing the Gingriches are and how amazing God is and how loving he truly is through everything. And there is, I've been asked, you know, if you could go back and take back or change anything about your life, would you do it? And to be honest, I wouldn't, because as much as I sometimes feel like the pain that I go through doesn't mean anything, I know it means so much, and I think there's something beautiful about looking back and seeing how much you've grown. And in the short year, my view of people and God and myself has been changing so much, and I'll be forever grateful. And huge shout out to Carla and James for keeping me lifted this week, and Darlene and Janessa for reaching out to me through this super tough week that I was going through. You guys are amazing. I love you all. Thanks.
That was an incredible testimony. I think that's a perfect picture of the power of God right there. And, you know, we've all been there, or we are there. I mean, we were all born into that hopelessness, and I'm just, yeah, that's incredible. You could have just finished it up. I was just soaking in toward the end. She was saying how how that God reached down into her life, and it's really a picture of, she was sharing how that life hasn't been just easy, and yeah, it's definitely a journey on my life right now, but I still recognize the goodness of God, and I testify to the pain that she, there's so many times in my life where I've recognized that as well. If I would have wanted life differently or something, I don't really think about that. Because of what I went through, or I don't like really have all those regrets, because God has totally redeemed that. And I believe that. I believe that Jesus has taken care of that. So I have no business going back and unearthing that. And I don't want to. I don't feel the desire. So growing up, I was taught to pray, and we had a prayer that we prayed more or less like every night for, and then I remember it when I shot my first buck, my dad told me, "You can thank God for this. This was an incredible moment for me." And I remember my dad, that's a moment I remember. He said, "You can thank the Lord for this." Or he told me to thank the Lord for this. We're big hunters, so that was just incredible. That's something I didn't forget. And then I remember adding to my prayer that we were taught to pray, usually in the end of the night when my brother and I would pray or whatever. We would say, "Thank you, Lord, for all the good things." And so that was special. I remember a lot of times remembering that of God's goodness, or like just in ways that he cared for me and came through for me. And that's something I definitely recognize now. Many times in instances in life I have experienced where times that I could have never seen my way through, or don't think I would have made it through, and just saw God's grace really relevant. And that's part of a surrendered life in Christ, which is a daily challenge and brokenness. 2 Corinthians 10:5, about taking all our thoughts captive. Taking all our thoughts captive. Let me just read that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I had taken counseling in my teen years, and that's a verse that he gave me for my wallet, so that was a special, just the thoughts condemning was mostly thoughts that I felt with. Thoughts of unworthiness. My journey now, I have I told God, let me just go back. Some of my testimony of when I received Christ ties into when the person was talking about somebody else that left the particular faith or church where we have been. And I had really been experiencing a lot of just food from the Lord over that time. And let me go back a little further. So when he shared to me about needing Jesus, and I recognized the pit that I was in and just met Jesus there, that was an incredible start of a journey of just really soaking in who Jesus was and his love for me. And I remember like the last two times that I attended, where I was attending on Sundays, a message I heard was the message that I felt was like they were sharing about how to do things or what to do. But in the end, my cry was, but there's an answer to this. You didn't finish what you were explaining. You know, we have a job. We have something to do. You didn't finish with that through Jesus. And when I first attended with my friend, I remembered really experiencing life and love. There was a lot of things going on in that church, but what I saw incredibly, what really moved me, and I'm going to tell you, it was a church where there was people falling backwards sometimes, and there was people laying on the floor and laughing. I didn't even look at those things. When I came to the door and somebody came and hugged me, that is what moved me, because I remembered my last experience was I was sitting at the tip of my bench, just like I knew everybody else was. And in the end of the service, I was like, why didn't you give an answer? Why is there so many secrets? Because this is available for you. Believe it. And a lot of those people, I feel, might still be living there. So I went to this other church periodically over a year. My parents were not at all, just freaked out that I was pursuing something else. And that was a really rich year with the Lord. And periodically I went with my friend to that church and really understood like life and love through that. And that was some of that. And then going back to, I remember as a younger child, I had snippets and, you know, I prayed to God. So I don't really know where I feel like I became born again, but I call it my recommitment is, I had friends that started like what we called sharing night, and these were Amish friends, and they invited us to have to come over. We watched things like Jack Frost and The Father's Love, an incredible session showing of the power of God's love for us, and we would share, and this is where I learned the brotherhood. You just share what's on your heart. This is what I really learned, what it's like to understand the brotherhood, to understand that your friends are for you, and these friends particularly were, and I was invited to go along to prison ministry. And this was incredible to me. I said something to my parents, and they're like, oh, no, we can't. I mean, you can sing, but, you know, but you can't talk to them or preach to them or whatever. But I really prayed God about this, and somehow I figured that I needed to go, like I was called to go. But I didn't have my parents' blessing, and somehow I just didn't think I was going to go. And then one Saturday, my mom asked me, said, "I thought you were going to be in prison today. It's what I needed. It's all it took." And I began preparing again and reading the Word incredibly, because this to me was like, wow. I understood a little bit what it would look like, you know, sitting down with guys or whatever, sharing or whatever. I just had no idea, really, but I was really convicted to prepare, and I prepared a lot. And so where I was working at the time was like a half a mile across the field, and I would walk home every night, and just because I wanted to. And it was incredible, rich times with God, and like the sun was going down. It was in the winter. And it was just awesome. And I remember marveling at God and just marveling at the sky and his handiwork and just worshiping God. And this one time, somebody said something about somebody else that is leaving the faith. And I don't know what made him think that I would agree, but that was part where God seemed to work in my life. Like, this is what you might have to go through. This is what you're going to face. And so I had preparation for that, but I was asking God, I was crying out to God all the way home, what does this mean? Like, what he said was really hurtful for the other one, and I didn't know how to take it. And I just cried and wouldn't let God know about this, let him go until he, what am I supposed to do with this? And when I remember exactly where I was, and he seemed to tell me, this isn't for you to carry. You can let that down. That's for me. I deal with him. And I always, when I seen him from then on, I was able to face him. No problem with what he said or whatever it was. But what happened after that was an incredible milestone in my life. Right after that, I went up in my room, and I was incredibly connected with God at that point. Like, I had never, up until that point, experienced the Holy Spirit in that depth. Or just his direction. I don't know why I did things the way I did, but I went up to my room. There was a CD from, I don't know if a lot of you guys know, the Esch Family Singers. They were an acapella, and five of them died on the highway. And my sister or somebody had put the CD in my room. It was of the message that was preached at their funeral of five of the Eshes that died. And in that and I put the buds in and lay on my bed, and I listened to this, and in the message it was saying, where this man, the preacher that was preaching the message, was saying of the man that died and got to heaven, and God asked, why should I let you in? And I remember being so in tune with the message, why should he let me in? Why should God let me into heaven? And I didn't get it, and the preacher went on to say, the man had it right in his dream. He said, because of Jesus. And the preacher said, you're right. And that busted me. Because at that point, I didn't think of that strongly yet. Because of Jesus. That's the only way. And it broke me. At that moment was an incredible moment of brokenness, of where I experienced, where I feel, I called it a recommitment, but to me, that's where I received God, and I felt like I wanted to die that night. And there's a lot on the journey. I'm already going way over my time, but one thing on that, I've felt that since. And God, through the same friend that really impacted my life, I told him a little bit about that. He said, I thought of that, and that why can't I just go, God? And God said, what about your family? What about your brothers? And what about your sisters? So it was revealed to him that he was being very selfish by thinking that now he's ready to go. He wants to go. God has something for us while we're here now. And so, yeah. God has showed himself incredibly strong in my journey. We went on a number of, I ended up going to prison ministry, and If you all care to hear the story, I'd be glad to share it. It was an incredible journey, especially through that, like working through that with my parents. And I still live at home. It's been an incredible journey. I have great respect for my parents, and we have respect for each other. Some of those separations are still in place that affects my heart, but I really feel it's important, and I want to honor my parents and the church that I was previously a part of. God has been great.
Today we celebrate the life of Jesus, the death and resurrection. I want to read a snippet from an email Ellen sent. It said, "This Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrate victory over the devil, sin, and death. It's Sunday we celebrate the stone was rolled away. It's the day we celebrate life and power and joy. It's the day we celebrate light that conquered the darkness forever." I'm so grateful that he has conquered the darkness forever, that we can put our trust in him, our hope in him. I'm just going to leave it open for a moment. If there's someone here who would love to be prayed with, you can come forward. Well, we'll join you in prayer. If there's something on your heart, you know, a day like today with the theme of restoration and hope and healing, I just want to give you the opportunity. If there's someone who would like prayer this morning to come up front, then we'll pray with you. Afterwards, I would like a group to pray with Kayla after the service and a group to pray with Johnny. They shared their hearts. They shared their testimony of the Lord. And just pray God's protection over them this coming week. So after our prayer, I'd like a group to gather around them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, the gift you've given us in life. Lord, we heard stories of how you've called Kayla and Johnny out of darkness into your light. And Lord, I pray that you be with them this week. Protect them, Lord. Pray your hand to be upon them. And Lord, as you call each of us, maybe you're calling someone to salvation today or to surrender something. Lord, I pray that you would be gracious to us as you speak to our hearts. I pray for a heart of surrender of all of us, that our lives would be committed fully to you. Lord, I pray for a blessing upon families today as we gather around meals and just celebrate what you've done for us. May we give you all the honor and glory. It's all because of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. So if I have groups to surround these brothers and sisters in prayer.